Well, we thank the Lord for being able to be here and get to see everybody here again. We've been enriched with our grandchildren have doubled in number this year, so that's been a real treat. I'd like to share a little message with us this morning. It's been an encouragement to me. I'd like to start in the book of Judges, the 6th chapter. Book of Judges, the 6th chapter. And for a little background, Israel had sinned against the Lord, and he allowed their enemies, to the Midianites, to overcome them. The Midianites were troubling them. They would raise their plant seed, and then the Midianites would come and destroy their crops. Verse 4, it said, "And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come into Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." You know, that's the best thing that we can do, is when we're in trouble, where we're in straits, is to cry out unto God for help. They did the right thing. That's the place to go. And we find ourselves in trouble also. It's very vital and important for us to cry unto the Lord for his help, for his blessing, and for his favor. And he hears our cries. He hears when we are earnestly entreating him with an honest and sincere heart. The Lord hears those cries. And as he did for them, he sent them help. And I want to read verse 7. It said, "It came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." In verse 11, "And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his name, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. We'll stop there. But I want us to notice how Gideon felt. And the message that he got was, I am with you, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon didn't feel like a mighty man of valor. He said, well, then, if the Lord is with us, Why is all this happening? Why is all this trouble about us? And he told him to go in his might, and the Lord would, and he would be with him, and he would give him strength and help. I'd like to encourage us today that we would go in the might of the Lord and go with what God has given us. You know, the Lord has given us many things to go with. He's given us visitations. He's revealed himself to us in different ways. He's been there, a help to us. And he said, go in this thy might. And sometimes we feel like, well, I don't have what I need. I don't feel like a mighty man of valor. I don't have what I need. But as we seek the Lord and as we look to him and we get guidance from him, we may feel those things, but we can go and step out in God, and the Lord will be with us and help us and help us fight our battles. Gideon didn't feel like he had what he needed on hand. And sometimes we feel that way. We feel insufficient. We feel maybe that maybe there's been some reverses that have happened in our lives and things that have maybe set us back in our faith. And we question, Lord, where are you at? What are you doing? But I want to encourage us this morning, this message that he gave to Gideon. When we cry unto God, and the Lord begins to talk to us, we may feel all of these things. And I sometimes our insufficiencies hide God's sufficiency. Sometimes we get our eyes on our weakness, our failures, our difficulties that we're facing in life. And we fail to recognize that God is all in all. We fail to recognize that God is able to supply. He's able to work not according to what I can do, but he's able to work above and abundantly what I am able to do. And that's what he told Gideon. He said, go in your might. I'll be with you and I'll strengthen you and I'll help you. And you know, the Lord is faithful to do that. When he led them out of Egypt, which was a wonderful thing, and we see all the great works that God did for them, but you know, it was only 3 days' journey into the wilderness when they were out of water that they began to murmur and complain, and they forgot what God had done for them. You know, the Lord knew where he was taking them. They weren't out there on their own. The Lord knew where he was taking them to, but there was no water. I mean, it was a wilderness. It was a dry place, and they got thirsty. But God knew that ahead of time. He recognized that. But there was something that he wanted them to get a hold of, that he was their sufficiency. He was going to meet their needs. He was going to supply their needs. And we see that when we read these scriptures of how God led them. It wasn't by the Willamette River. You know, I mean, where they had this big, huge river and they just go get a drink anytime they wanted to. He led them into some difficult places. But it was all for a purpose and for a reason. And sometimes that's what trips us up at people. We begin to question, where's God? What is he doing? Why is he forsaking me? Just like Gideon did. But the Lord knew what he was doing. And the Lord knows what he's doing in our lives also when he leads us. And there's some difficult places that we've been. But it's so that we can understand that he is our provider. That he'll work. That he'll meet the needs of our life. I had a wonderful day yesterday. We had alternator trouble coming into Oregon, the light, and I didn't realize it said check electrical system. Our light came on. Check electrical system. Well, we drove in. We made it okay with the light going on. And then I thought, well, we'll go up here to Jefferson. We'll have them put the computer on it and pinpoint what it is. I just didn't want to go buy an alternator if that wasn't the real trouble. And I got to Jefferson. Well, they didn't have the computer thing to hook up. So we go to Albany. And Leah wanted to do some shopping there. And so we pull. I let them out at Goodwill. We're in the Goodwill parking lot. As soon as she gets out of the truck, in fact, I told her, I said, hurry, honey, I need to get to the parts store to get to a computer to check this out. My dashboard lights, everything went out, and then it died. And I was coasting. I coasted up to a parking spot, so it just looked like I was parked there, but I had a pretty good idea what was wrong. But here we are at Goodwill, and I didn't think I had anything on hand. My toolbox was here at the garage. I'd got it out of the back of the truck. So I sat there wondering what I was going to do, and I texted my son-in-law, Nathan, and told him what was happening. Well, I didn't get a response, but I remember him saying, I'm going to put Jordan down for a nap. So I thought Nathan was probably down also for a nap. So I didn't get no response back. So we're sitting there in the parking lot, and I thought, well, I need to disconnect my battery because if something's draining on it, it's going to be disconnected. So I thought, what can I use? I didn't think I had anything on hand. So I got under the back seat, and I started looking, scrounging back there. And lo and behold, there was a little sack that I had under there, this little tool deal, and there was a quarter-inch drive socket set in my little bag that I didn't realize it was there. And so another thing, I got looking around and I saw, just sitting in the truck, kind of wondering what I'm going to do. And I saw there's an AutoZone just right up the road there, just about a block, an AutoZone. I won't go into all the details, but it was a miracle how the Lord worked it all out. But I got to the point, I went to AutoZone, I got the alternator, I came back. And I did my little YouTube. I use that thing quite a bit to figure out how to work on. I'm not as good as Brother Andre.
I use
YouTube. Do you? Okay. I don't have quite the experience he does. Anyway, they showed, get this half-inch breaker bar. I thought, well, AutoZone have that. I'll go to AutoZone, half-inch breaker bar, and I thought, you know, I really don't want to buy a half-inch breaker bar. I'm sure they don't really have one for loan. And I thought, Goodwill. I'm right in the Goodwill parking lot. What's the chances of finding a half-inch deal to turn that deal? Anyway, I go into Goodwill and look around. I looked through the whole aisle, started at one end and pulling stuff off and looking, what can I use? What can I use? And at the very end, at the very bottom of the shelf, was a socket set. And lo and behold, there was a half-inch ratchet in the socket set. So anyway, I take this. I said, didn't have a bar. It wasn't a big. It was just a socket deal. So I take it to the front, talk to the lady. I said, hey, my truck, I'm stalled in your parking lot. I'm having trouble with my truck. Can I borrow this? I'll bring it right back when I'm done. She looked at me. She said, I don't normally do this. But she said, somehow, I think I can trust you. So anyway, she let me use that, and I went out. And it was just such a blessing to me. And then I got talking to the boy in the parts store. In this whole process, because I'd been going back and forth. And lo and behold, he's from Springfield, Missouri. He just moved here a year and a half ago. And he said, well, I said Springfield because no one knows where Nick's is at. I said, oh, I know where Nick's is at. In fact, I said, we're having a camp meeting and there's going to be a minister there from Nixa. Would you like to come and hear him preach Tuesday through Sunday? Anyway, the Lord has a way of giving and providing things that it looks like I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know what's going to happen. But the Lord has a way of opening places to us in the desert, in the wilderness, in our trouble, in our difficulty, if we just look to Him and have faith in Him and believe in Him. The Lord can do that for us. But our unbelief sometimes will hinder what God wants to do. Our unbelief will hinder Him from working like He wants to work. So let's be encouraged this morning to look to God with expectation. Okay, Lord, here I am in this situation, whatever it might be. What are you going to do now? What do I do now? Look to God with expectation that He is able to meet your need. He's able to supply your need. That was a temporal need that I had. But it doesn't matter if it's financial, if it's spiritual. God is able to fill the needs that we have in our life. He doesn't want us to go around paupers and not having what He has for us. He's got the things for us that we need. But we must trust in Him and look to Him and believe Him. And God blessed, and we read the account of Gideon. The Lord reduced Gideon. The Lord sent all those soldiers. He had a big backing. He sent all those soldiers home, but 300 men. Why for? What? So that they would know that God would supply. That they would know that it was the Lord and not them. That it was the Lord doing it. And the Lord wants to do that in our lives. He wants to work. Another scripture I want to get is in Genesis, the 21st chapter. Genesis 21. And 21 and verse 12. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness at Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. You know, I think about this question she got. What ails you, Hagar? Here she is in the wilderness. She's got a bottle of water that's spent. It's gone. She had a loaf of bread that Abraham sent with her. She's a woman. And here she is out in the wilderness. And the angel says, what ails you? What's your trouble? What's bothering you? What's can't you see? It's gone. It's spent. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. And when you read this, you know the Lord. How many whales were out there in the wilderness? The Lord, I believe the Lord was with her that whole journey. She didn't realize it. She didn't realize that God was with her. But I believe the Lord was with her that whole journey. Because it said, it goes on, it said, God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. But I believe God, how many wells were out there? I don't think there's probably just abundance of wells out there. And she knew that death was inevitable. She knew that if I don't get something, the child's going to die and I'm going to die. And she didn't want to see the death the child should put over there. I think about the song, it says, oh, pilgrim of Jesus, what saddens thy brow? Are not his promises true? What sorrow? How's that go? He's bidding thee now something, ever keep heaven in view. What ails you? What's bothering? What's the problem? Are not God's promises true? Can we believe in him? Can we trust in him? He's given us a lot of promises in the scriptures. Can we step on them? Receive them? Step out on them and believe them? Like Gideon, go in thy might. God will be with you. Use the little. And it looked like there was nothing there. God was still there. And I'm thankful today that God can provide. And I want to get a little other thought on this scripture. You remember, they had waited for the promised child for a long time. And Sarah told Abraham to go in into Hagar. They were trying to help the Lord out. That wasn't God's plan. I don't know about all that. God still had a plan for Isaac, the promised son, to come. But the thing that I want to get out of this, that even in our mistakes, even in our failures, God can turn them around to be a blessing and a help to us. That is so encouraging to me. The one that created the earth, and the scripture said that God didn't create things out of things that appeared. You know, we make wooden things out of wood. We create steel out of ore and things that appear and things that we can get a hold of. God didn't do that. He created out of nothing. And he can take our failures, our mistakes. If you call this a mistake, I call it, probably it was a mistake, trying to help the Lord out and having a son. You know, the New Testament uses this, as Paul uses this, about the difference from going into the law, into the gospel, that the law would go away, pass away, and the gospel would be there. God can turn our mistakes, our failures, our shortcomings, he can turn them into a great blessing to us. He has that power to do that. If we'll give him control, if we'll yield ourselves to him and seek him and cry out to him, he can turn our failures, they can be a great strength in our life. There's another song that says, let thy failings a blessing to thee prove. You know, those failures and those places maybe that we made even in a sincere desire to live for God, we sometimes will make mistakes. God can turn them into great stones of help, stepping stones in our life, where we learn more of how to wait upon him and how to trust him and how to look to him. I wanted to mention just another thing about Hagar, is that earlier in the book, there's a conflict between Hagar and Sarah. And really, it's Hagar's fault, because Hagar starts looking down on Sarah because she had a child and Sarah didn't. And Sarah begins to react to it by putting pressure on Hagar and making her life, and she runs. And I want to encourage that with this too, that Hagar ran from her problem. We will never get anywhere when we run from our problems. When we run from our problems, our difficulties, our lacks, our failures, our situations in life maybe that are uncomfortable, that we don't understand, if we just run from them and we just make excuse for ourselves, it's always the other person, it's always the circumstance, it's always something out there. We won't grow and we won't learn what God has for us. But if we'll stay there, and Hagar, when she ran that first time, the second time the Lord told her, Abraham, to send her away. But the first time she ran on her own. But the angel said, you go back. You go back and you submit yourself to Sarah. And I know that was a hard thing for her to do, because Sarah had treated her roughly. But she did that. You know, when we do that, when we stay in, when there's problems and there's difficulties, and we stay there and we begin to work through those, we begin to pray and we begin to look. You know, I think about a person, Brother Andre, he's an experienced mechanic, but he didn't start out that way. He didn't start out knowing all the ins and outs of mechanics. He had to learn. As he came into problems, he had to work through them. You know, there's something about problems and difficulties that our flesh, our natural human makeup, we tend to want to ignore. It's in the human family. Our problems, our difficulties, our failures, a lot of those things, we want to ignore them. We want to make excuse, or we want to run away from them. But the blessing is when we stay right there and we say, Lord, I know you have what I need. I know that you can give me. And the thought about this was with Gideon, the Lord, even though there was an insufficiency, and we don't always have the right answer at the time, but if we'll believe in God and trust in Him and we'll begin to face our trouble and we'll take a step forward and confront our problems and our difficulties, the Lord will enable at those times, just like Gideon. Gideon said, I don't have it. But the angel told him, go in this your might. And when we go and we begin to move, the Lord, then He begins to work and He begins to open up and we begin to see the things. But I've recognized that many times people spend their entire lives running from their troubles and their problems and their difficulties. And they don't grow. They don't grow spiritually. But it's those that stay right there and they begin to work with it. And they begin to seek the Lord and they begin to recognize there's a need here. And they stay in there. And they begin to learn the Lord does have an answer. I want to tell us this today. I believe with all of my heart that God has an answer to every problem, every difficulty. And Jesus manifested that when He was here on earth. There was not a problem that overtook Him. There was not a question that perplexed Him. There was nothing that could overpower or overthrow Him, you might say. He has an answer. We have to cry unto the Lord and seek Him and begin to step out and go in what He's given us. And as we go, the Lord, and you see that all through the Scriptures. When the priest, they put their feet in the Jordan River, it wasn't until they put their feet in that the river opened up and they were going across. If they would have just sat there on the bank, nothing would have happened probably. But they believed and they trusted. And their faith caused them to put a step out, even though they didn't know exactly how it was going to work. They put their foot out in the water and it parted. When they were fighting that great host, and they said, we don't have no might against this, and they didn't. They were right, but they forgot that the Lord was with them. And they sent singers out in front of the battle and said, when they began to sing, the Lord sent ambushments. The Lord began to work. So many times the Lord wants to work in our lives. He wants to bless. He wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants to fix our problems. He wants to fix life's difficulties. Marriage problems. You know, someone's ever said, I've never had any marriage problems. I don't believe that. You get two people together, I tell you what, that's that's a potential problem. Doesn't matter how perfect of a person they are. And a lot of people get the idea, well, I'll just go get me another one. Yeah. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. Good marriages don't come just because there's these two perfect individuals to get together and everything goes right. Good marriages come because people stay in there and they begin to work. They begin to talk. They begin to pray together. They begin to cry out to the Lord for answers. And the Lord gives understanding. And He opens, just like He did Hagar. The well was, there was help right there. But it took the Lord opening her eyes. And the Lord can do that for us. Go in your might this morning. I hope everyone here is encouraged to live for God and trust Him and believe that He can help you in your decisions, in the choices of life. He can provide things when it looks like there's nothing there. He can open your eyes. He can provide. He is a provider. You know, when we marry, husbands are the provider, right? Their job is to provide. We're married to Christ. When we've given our heart and life to Him, we've committed ourselves, we've entered into a marriage relationship with Christ. He is our provider. And He is a good provider. He knows how to provide exactly what we need. You know, sometimes we look at difficulties and we think, why this? Why'd I have to have this at this time? You know, sometimes we don't even really know what we need. Sometimes we don't really know what we need spiritually. God does. He knows what we need. We sang that song that said, had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I would go astray, and wander far away in darkness, nor reach the land. We can't make heaven by just choosing our own pathway. But the Lord can help us. He can lead us. He can guide us and direct us. And I'm thankful today that God is a good provider and He'll help us. Let's believe in Him. Let's trust in Him. We're encompassed in a world filled with doubts, fear, unbelief, skepticism. Let's have faith in God and believe and trust in Him. What ails you this morning? God has it. He can do it. And I thank the Lord for that.